Welcome, everyone. How are you guys doing? After a couple weeks of a break, you okay? Good. Do you feel a difference when you don't have something weekly consciousness? It does feel different, right? Actually, Kabbalistically, when you start to nourish the soul, it's very much the way you nourish the body, right? Because let's say every day when you woke up in the morning, you ate the same exact food at the same exact time every day for a year. Let's say every day you had like a very sweet, delicious apple. Two apples every day at 7 a.m. When you wake up one day, what is your body expecting to receive? That sweetness, that sugar. So when you don't give it, and then that goes to withdrawal. So the idea is with the soul, it's the same way. Kabbalists share that when you feed the soul consciousness, light, education, energy, the soul looks for it at the same time interval as well. That's why even if we don't have class in a certain week, it's actually important to learn something at that exact moment in time. And what it does is it creates balance in your life. It creates balance in your mind. And some of the times when we feel like we're out of balance, or we feel like we're not connected to ourselves, that's why. The same way that if probably one of us missed one or two meals, we might get a little cranky. We might get a little tired. We might not feel ourselves. Spirituality is the same exact thing. That's a huge secret of feeling balanced. All right, we're going to do a quick exercise that odds are you're not going to like at all. Is that okay? You probably will be upset with me, and you'll be very uncomfortable, and you might not even come back next week. But that's okay. That's okay, because we have to shake it up a little bit. So please rise for a moment. Please rise. Please forgive me. I say it in advance. Please forgive me. Now, I want you to look around the room. I want you to go and walk up to someone whom you don't know. Let's start with that, okay? Let's just start with that. Just start with the walk. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Start with the walk. Find someone whom you don't know. And just stand next to them and introduce yourself. That's it. Just short introduction. Okay? All right? All right. Find someone. You can do a group of three if you want. You can do a group of three if you want. All right. All right. All right, now let's slow it down. Let's slow it down, all right? All right, and just to say, we are on camera, so, all right. So, are you ready for this? That's it, that was the whole workshop, that's it. You don't have to do anything. Okay, go back to your seat. That was it, that was the whole workshop. Go back to your seat. All right. What was the point of the workshop? I have a question to you. I have a question for you. From the moment I started the workshop to the end, what was your Satan telling you? Let's get the microphones ready. What was your Satan telling you? Yeah. Yeah. You got a mic here? There we go. All right. Joseph, what was your Satan telling you?
Oh, this one's going to be awkward.
This one's going to be awkward. All right, good. What else? What else? Yes. Here. Yeah. You have something else, Joseph?
Okay. That you were going to make me reveal something about myself, which I'm not in the mood to do.
Not in the mood to do it. What was your Satan telling you? Like, what was he saying to you?
Oh, God, you're going to have to say something about yourself.
Good. Very good. Very good. What else? You know, it's funny because you guys are a little more advanced, but if I had you do this in the first class of Kabbalah 1, imagine what your Satan would be telling you.
Yeah. Mine's a very British answer. I thought you were going to make us hug, and I really wanted to
maybe do
that.
Something physical you wouldn't like to do, right? All right, very good. What else? Yeah, Gabe.
I was going to say, ugh, David is so annoying. I'm quitting Kabbalah.
And the point is, when it comes to us and other people, that's the beginning of when tikkun starts. When it's us by ourselves, a person isn't yet in the game of revealing the light of the Creator. In fact, if I was just always alone, I'd have a great life, wouldn't I? Just great life, never have a problem. All problems begin when you introduce a second person. If you really think about it, every problem, every chaos begins when a second person is introduced. Why? Why is it when two people are introduced into an equation, all of a sudden fears come up, anxieties come up? Think about the anxieties you have. They don't involve other people. Think of one worry you have. Does it involve somebody else? Even a person that says, you know what, no, I'm just worried about money. I'm worried about my financial situation. Yeah, but what do you mean you're worried about your financial? You're worried that you won't be able to pay your bank or pay your creditors or take care of your child or your family. Really, it all comes down to relationships with other people. That's where all the tikkun exists, and that's when our heart starts beating fast, as soon as we introduce another person. Kabbalah is powerful in that, and I was talking to a person today. She said that at her job, she has a high position in this company, and they've hired somebody else in a different department in this company. She said, you know, this guy, he wants my job. I can tell he wants my job. And he's always coming up with ideas and suggestions to me and to other people. And you know, this feeling? When someone's like kind of going beyond their boundary a little bit, and she feels like he's doing something sneaky. She's asking me, what should I do about this situation? Good question, right? What would you do about this situation? Based on what we've learned so far, we've only learned the first half of proactive confrontation. What's going on here? What would you normally do before Kabbalah? How about that? Let's start there. What might you do before Kabbalah? Okay. Undermine him, right? Yeah, let's get the mic. We'll keep the mic flowing. Undermine him. How would you undermine him? Maybe what might you do?
Might start spreading some rumors.
Spread a rumor that you may or may not have heard. Or maybe you'll want to believe something about them, and you'll want it so bad, you'll be, you know, making a little coffee at the station. And then, because your desire is so strong to hurt this person, your desire will attract another colleague who doesn't like him. Because that's how powerful our desire is, right? My desire will attract somebody else that also is upset with this guy. And I'll be sitting there with my coffee like this, like, oh, so how's your day? Do you know Richard? You know Richard? Yeah, you know, the new compliance guy. Yeah. What do you think? It's interesting, right? It's an interesting person. And it's interesting because Kabbalah students actually talk that way. Because they don't want to speak evil speech and they don't want to be reactive, but we're still afraid as students. So we don't go for the kill right away. We don't say things like, you see, Richard, I can't stand, we need to get rid of. No, Kabbalah students are a little more tricky. Richard, interesting guy, right? Right? You got each other, right? Interesting guy, right? It's like, I'm not the bad guy here. What am I doing? I'm just throwing a little bait. Let's start a conversation. Because that's the power of desire. You draw whatever you want to experience. That's your free will. So what did you were going to say something about?
I was just going to say, just analyze how it's going to impact.
You're going to worry about how it's going to impact you. So what if Richard is actually better at your job than you are? What if you have a bunch of kids and you have to pay your bills, and if you lose this job, you're going to lose your health insurance, You can lose your benefits, and it can be devastating. What do you do here? Without Kabbalah, almost always we're going to do something reactive. So very quickly, with the purse, you know, at your table, really quick, just quick 30, 45 seconds. What is the first thing? How would you handle this situation based on all the Kabbalah we've learned so far? I'll give you a minute just to discuss it at your tables. Please. All right, everyone. All right, ready? Who's got something they want to share? How would you deal with this? Someone at the tables. Yes. All right. You guys got something? All right. Let's Alex, please. All right. Please stand up so people can see you.
My suggestion was that I would get to know this person.
Okay. One second, guys. Ready? You would get to know this person?
I would get to know this person. I'd understand his weaknesses, his strengths, his motivation. I would share my motivation, my strengths and weaknesses in an attempt to try and collaborate with this individual as opposed to fighting him. And I think that, you know, when you approach somebody from a position of fear and anger and anxiety, you give them all of the power and you give them, they're smarter than I am, they're stronger than I am, they're better at this, and they may not be. And so I think that by combining forces, if you will, you actually improve your own position, your self-esteem goes up, you feel much better about yourself because you're not going at somebody, you know, with a stabbing in the back kind of a thing. And I think you ultimately end up with a coworker that you could actually go to management with and say, look what a great team we made.
Wonderful, wonderful answer. Okay, wonderful answer. Now, it's a great answer, great answer. However, now we study Kabbalah. We study spirituality. We were like, wait a minute. There's another layer. There's another dimension. What's the other dimension? By the way, this is the best way to handle the scenario as the final step. Now, what are a couple steps we can do before we do what Alex said? Yes. Mike, yeah, please. Okay.
And then to have certainty and trust that, you know, even if you can't handle that, whatever's going to be, it's going
to be. Okay, very good. So you're saying the intention of wanting to close the gap would come before the steps that Alex takes to close the gap. Okay. What comes even before that? You see, by nature, by the way, we are solution-oriented people. We want to fix problems. But Satan also loves when we quickly go to fix problems. So my question is, how do I make sure I don't have the same situation happen to me again?
Hi, I'm Nye. I'm not sure if this is the answer you're looking for, but pause.
Okay.
And maybe... pause, what a pleasure. Ask why it's in your movie.
Ask why it's in my movie. So what am I asking myself?
You're asking, why is this situation coming into my life? What is it that I need to learn?
And what's going to come up when I ask that question? What am I going to find out about myself?
You're going to find a klipa.
The tikkun, the correction, tikkun. Right?
Yeah.
We haven't learned that phrase yet. Yeah.
You're going to find a negativity in... about yourself that you need to correct.
So in this case, what would she find? What would she find in this case if she looked inside herself? Give me a tikkun that could be associated. Huh? Envy, insecurity, fear, lack of certainty in the Creator, by the way. Which the overall tikkun of all tikkuns is lack of certainty in the Creator. Here's another spiritual law, another sneaky tikkun. Every time in your life, you have something that begins to control you and you're not in control, you will have someone else enter your movie to sabotage you or to reject you or to cause a problem. Did you know that? I'll say it again. Every time, for example, she was telling me that her work, she was starting to control her. Work was dictating her emotions. You know when you get caught up in something and the thrill of it, the energy of it captures you almost to the point that it's controlling you. You're no longer in control. Has that ever happened to you? As soon as you lose control, what's happening? You're no longer the light. You no longer have free will when something's controlling you, when a relationship is controlling you, when money is controlling you. So what do? People come and say, one second here. This career of yours that you're so addicted to, I've been sent by the Creator to break your addiction. To show you, you might lose this in a second. Whoa. Wakes you up. So Richard, the compliance officer, is coming by the Creator perfectly to awaken this woman. One second here. I've been lost in my job. I've been overworking, over this, over whatever. Maybe all from the right place, but when you lose control, when you're addicted to something, someone or some situation will come to break your addiction, to help you get free will back so that you can be the light. So she's realizing, wow, I need to be in charge, not that things dictate my life. Have you ever lost yourself in a relationship? Right? You have to be careful. You start becoming somebody else. You start reacting all the time to that person, to their emotions, to their moods. Do they like me? Do they not like me? Are they going to go out with me? Are they not? Am I going to be with them? Will they marry me? When are they going to ask me to marry them? I don't get what's going on. So you're not the light anymore. You're the effect. You're not the cause. You're the effect. So situations will come up. Will break that. Satan comes in whenever I am the effect. That's what pause is. What is pause? What do you mean pause? Pause. What am I pausing? Pause. I'm going back. I'm choosing now. I'm choosing now what I'm going to do. I'm going to now choose my career. I'm now going to choose my relationship. I'm now going to choose what I'm going to say or feel. I'm going to choose whether I'm going to have certainty or not. I choose. Not external things dictate my life. Whenever we are the effect, the light leaves. It's light or dark. There's no in-between, by the way. You're either connected or you're disconnected. You're either alive or you're dead. There's nothing in between. There's no, I'm kind of there, or not, I'm on my way. There's no on my way. Either this room is light, it's lit up, or it's dark. There's no dim. Because dim is still light. I'm either the cause or I'm the effect. That's the bottom line. And when I'm the effect, I attract people that awaken and show me, hey, I'm being the effect. So an exercise that she could do, and again, every scenario is different, so I'm trying to give you as many scenarios as possible so that you can internalize these concepts just for yourself. And I want to hear more scenarios from you guys. What would she need to do to be the cause again? Pause. What a pleasure. Wow. Wow. My fears, my insecurities, I don't believe in the Creator. I'm too lost in my job. I forgot about spirituality. I forgot about the system of the light. You know what? What does it mean to have certainty in the Creator? She could ask herself that. Certainty in the Creator is, who determines my career? Who determines how my bills are paid? This guy? My career? The Creator takes care of everything. I'm going to meditate now to let go of everything I'm afraid to lose. You have to do this exercise all the time. Whatever you're afraid to lose, you need to meditate and visualize to lose it. Isn't that the opposite of what every guru tells you? What does every other guru tell you? Visualize you getting it, holding it, conquering it. It's yours. Kabbalists say the opposite. If it's yours, it's yours. Don't worry. The Creator will send it to you. By letting it go, you guarantee you have no negativity, no selfish agenda, no addiction attached to it. So she visualizes that, you know what? If it's his job, if he's better at it, let him have it. Isn't that closing space? Isn't that really caring about the company? Because if I'm holding on to something that I'm not that good at, what am I doing? Am I sharing or am I taking? So if I'm taking, I'm the little cancer cell in this company. In the end, it's not going to work out for me. If I know I'm not good at something, I better step aside. Yeah, but what about my kids? They need to eat. What about my kids? It's hard. So what about your kids? Are you taking care of your kids? You? You're taking care of your kids. The higher level is, you know what? My kids, they'll be fine. Creator will take care of them. Your job is to let go of your negativity. The kids, the money will come, everything will come. It's the fear of losing something that hurts you, your family, everyone. I'll lose the whole job. I'll be homeless. Homeless. I love homeless. I have certainty with the Creator. As long as I do my spiritual work, I'll be fine. Let go completely. Internally, by the way, you don't go resign. I'm not saying go resign your job. I'm saying internally, let go. Now, after you let go, now you do what Alex said. Okay, how do we help everyone? How do we benefit the company? How do we benefit each other? And now I pursue. Now, if I don't do that exercise, I'm going to keep getting more of these Richard the compliance officers coming into my life, disturbing me, showing me that I have weakness and I have fear. Does that make sense? Questions? Gabe.
What if you generally, you know, you think that, okay, maybe I'm not the best person for the job or I'm not the best person for this client, and someone else might be better, but the way that that person goes about it is not the right way, and it hurts you in some way.
The way that person goes about it? What do you mean?
So let's say the guy is better for the job than you are,
yeah,
but he gets the job by speaking badly about you, by tainting your name some way, you know, so he doesn't go about it the right way.
Oh, that's his tikkun. That's
but
his
it hurts,
process.
But it hurts you in the process.
That's okay. What does it hurt? It hurts what?
Your heart.
Look, again, I'm not saying also be, you know, passive and let everyone walk all over. You got to fight back. What I'm saying is internally you got to resolve your issues before you fight back or before you decide. Now, if you really don't think you're good for the company, you need to rethink what you're doing there. If you're not good for the company, it means that you are good for something else. You just haven't found it yet. Because the Creator has a job for each one of us. So why would I do something I'm not good at when the Creator already has something waiting for me that's going to make me more money and I'm going to enjoy more? If you're not enjoying what you're doing, it just means that there is something that's waiting for you that you're just not looking at because you're afraid to leave what you're doing. Because the Creator always, the light, what came first, the light or the vessel? You sure? Anybody think the vessel came first? No. Kabbalah 1, class, I don't know, what was it, 5 or 6? The light created the vessel. So if I have a desire for something, it means that the fulfillment of that desire came first. You understand? So if I want to get married, it means my soulmate exists somewhere causing me to want him or her. If I want a fulfilling career, why do I want it? Where did this desire for wanting a fulfilling career come from? It came from the fact that there is a fulfilling career out there that's sending me a signal. Want me, come get me. I'm waiting for you. Me, the career is waiting for you. So you wake up in the morning, you say, wow, I want a career. Why do you want it? This is very mystical. Why do you want it? Because it's there signaling you, come get me. You're never going to want something that doesn't exist, waiting for you to come get it. Now, you may be confused about what you want. You may say, well, I want to be the president of the United States, but really, it's not really that's what you want. It's like you want to help. You want to control. You want to do something that you can affect change. So the light will guide you there. But you should know that whatever you want, it already exists causing you to want it. What else? More questions. Yes.
So a colleague of mine I've known for 13 years, he's in England, and I've been trying to talk to him about a potential role at his company all year, but he's been in and out of LA and we haven't.
You mean for you
for
to,
me.
To work at his company?
Right. And anyway, I haven't seen him and he was meant to be here now and he palmed me off on a girl in the role I wanted to create with this company, which is okay.
Wait, so he hired somebody else?
Yeah, but the role didn't exist, so it wasn't even advertised. It was like,
so it was a role that you wanted, that you created, he hired somebody else.
Well,
for.
I hadn't even spoken to him about it. It was in my head that, oh, I should talk to this person because that company's big enough to kind of create this kind of role that fits my skill set, right? But I haven't, I'm here and he's based in London and I haven't been able to talk to him. And every time he's been here this year, we haven't been able to meet up. So anyway, now the new person who has created this role is here and I'm meeting with her tomorrow because she's actually an old colleague of mine too. And I know her and she's great. She's really cool. So she comes to me today and says, do you know any, like basically my whole address book in Los Angeles? And I was like, okay.
Do you understand what's happening here?
So great, I was like, example. How did this happen? How did this happen? You know, meanwhile, she's here in LA on an expenses account. I have to go to New York next week.
And you're giving her all the assets and context.
But, and I'm trying to think, like, well, okay. One, I don't...
What's happening here? This is the complicated one. Well, this is a little trickier. This is a trickier tikkun. What's happening here? What do you guys think? Don't answer the phone? All right. That's nice. That's a good way of putting it. All right. By the way, I want to hear more from you guys. We're getting
Not to be too assuming, but it seems like it's a tikkun of not respecting yourself to give too much of something that's worthwhile for you.
But should we not? What should she not help her? I mean, isn't that what it's about? Being
well,
the
one
light?
Thing is helping. One thing is being taken advantage of.
Okay. Right, that's my point, because at the same time, one, it will help her, and I've been working on manifesting abundance all year in that there's enough opportunity for everyone, and I feel like that might be my tikkun. It's like, if I hold on to it, like, that's lack, right? And so I've given them to, and also all the people I've connecting her with are people I like, and if she has the projects that they can do...
It will help everyone.
That helps everyone, not me,
but... I'm not sure that it's a problem that you're giving out your contacts in this case. There's a deeper issue here of why you didn't get the job to begin with.
Well, I never spoke to him about the job. I haven't
met
with him.
No, that's not why you didn't get the job. Deeper is why you're being benched. Why you're second? That's the question. You want it? Why you're second? Because you want to be second. People tell me that all day long. I hear it all day long. I said, why do I got this? I said, because that's what you want. No, that's not what I want. I want that. No, it's not true. Because if you really go deep inside, there's 20% of you that wants to be successful. There's another 20% of you that's scared of it. There's another 20% of you that wants to be comfortable. There's another 20% of you that doesn't want to be rejected. There's so many elements that until all of your essence wants and craves and believes with certainty that that's what it wants to do, it's not going to manifest. You know, sometimes you meet people and you know within 5 seconds, this guy is going to be successful no matter what. No matter what. You know these kind of people? Because right away you feel they're 100%. Those kind of people, every second that goes by that they don't have their goals met, they're in agonizing pain. Those kind of people. And there's other people that say, I want that. It would be nice. It would be good. No, I really want that. I know, I really want it. And you tell everybody, by the way, that you really want it. But then there's people that if they don't have, it's like their brain doesn't even fathom not having it. You have to understand. Their brain doesn't even fathom what it's like to not be in that role. All their essence wants it. They want it as bad as a drowning person wants to breathe. Knowing that if I don't breathe the next 10 seconds, I'm not going to live. That's the type of desire and belief system. And it takes work to clean out all the tikkun to get to that place that that's what you want. You used to be like that? So what happened? A tikkun was activated that was dormant. Now you have to remove it. Now you're going through a process because sometimes tikkun can be activated only when a person is poor, and sometimes certain tikkuns can come only when you're rich. So you're going to go, if you want to end the poor, not poor, but if you want to end the stage of lack, you have to finish all the tikkuns associated with lack. Then the Creator will move you on to working on tikkuns of being rich. Right? And trust me, there's even more tikkuns of being rich. Okay. So that's the idea. You have to give the creator a reason to shift your destiny. Okay? Yes.
Hi, my name's Nicole. So I was wondering, because with my career, yeah, something like I really want, and I was doing it full-time, but it wasn't quite right, so now I'm doing it in a better city, but it's part-time. But anyways, I thought, as important as it is to really want it, isn't that being bad? Am I only thinking of myself by wanting it and not caring about anything else and being in pain if I don't have it? Isn't that kind of going against what we're learning a little bit?
Good question. Good question. It's a great question. What do you guys think? Someone besides Gabe. Even though I really appreciate it. Yes, Nye.
I want to say that if you want it that badly, or like, if you're put here on this earth for a reason, you should be fulfilling that reason, and that's not bad.
That is correct. So this is a question that has many parts to it. So, and this is the true essence of Kabbalah. When we learn this journey of Kabbalah, which it takes time. We're learning things in stages. But ultimately, when we learn all the stages, there's two parts. Part number one, we have to learn how to clean out the vessel. That's what Kabbalah 1 and 2 is doing. It's cleaning out the vessel. Cleaning out all the garbage and the impurities. Once you clean out the vessel, you've got this big vessel that wants everything. Kabbalah says you should want it all, because the Creator created you for that way. The second part of it is, now that you want it all, it has to be truly for the sake of the light of the Creator, for the sake of sharing, for the sake of removing space, for the sake, not for my sake, not for my selfish need or agenda or fear or insecurity. But truly, I want it all truly for the sake of sharing and spreading the light of the Creator and being an example of the light and really helping. This process takes time to learn in the segments. But the first part of it is, how do we become pure vessels? Then we're going to learn how to make it more about the sake of sharing. It's a second phase. Yes.
Hi, I'm Sylvie. I was just going to say, I think one of my teachers told me it's the how, not the what. So how you go about doing it, not necessarily what you're doing. And I guess that's...
You mean, what's your intention?
Yeah, like not only your intention, but I guess, you know, how you're acting on that path, you know, not what you're doing. So
absolutely.
I guess just what you just said, kind of.
Absolutely.
But I always think of it that way because it's short and concise instead of, you know, it makes it more simple. It's like, how am I going about this? Not what am I doing?
Absolutely. That is definitely a short way of understanding it. To internalize this entire process, we'll take lessons that we can all feel what that really means. All right. One more question. You had a question, Joseph? Okay. All right. So before we go to the next phase of the lesson, share one concept, because we just learned many concepts. One concept that resonated with you, that was important for you and powerful for you, share it with the person sitting next to you, please. All right, everyone. So, the first two steps of proactive confrontation and communication. Step one, taking responsibility. Every situation that comes into this world, every single one that bothers me, regardless of right or wrong, who's doing it, what it means, it's not personal, there's a message in it for me. Creator wants me to close the space between my body and my soul. The Creator wants me to find and unearth negative attributes, because that's the only reason I came to this world, to become the perfect vessel for the light of the Creator. Step two is the desire to want to close the space between me and other people. Desire is the most powerful tool you have. What's the most powerful tool you have?
Desire.
Very good. Desire is the most powerful gift you have. No other gift is as powerful as desire. In fact, the Kabbalists say the only thing that truly belongs to you is your desire. Everything else, the Creator gives you. Desire is yours. If I want to close the space with someone, the reality, the forces, the universe, nature, the angels, whatever you want to think, all come to support that mission. Spoke to somebody recently, and she said, listen, there's this person. She really bothers me. Really, really bothers me. And I listened to what you said, and, you know, I feel at peace with it now. I actually even know why it bothers me, because she reflects some of the things that I do. I'm good about it now. I just wanted to let you know that. I said, well, okay, that's wonderful. Do you feel like you've completely closed the space? No, I mean, there's a little space, but I'm at peace. It's not enough. Space means Satan. When there's a space, Satan, right? Separation, division, fragmentation, Satan. Oneness, unity, the light of the Creator. Now, does that mean she needs to be her best friend? Yes or no? Does that mean she needs to hang out with her all the time? How about hang out with her at all? No. Does she even need to talk to her ever again? Maybe not. She has to close the space. Closing the space, it's like, do you feel you have space with Michael here? Even if you never talk again, do you feel you have space? One second. If you're going to say something, you got to say it in the mic.
But if you're talking to someone every day and then you close the space and you don't talk to them barely ever, isn't there space inherently by that change?
No. Physical space means nothing, obviously. Energetic space. You know that you could feel total love and oneness with someone and not even see them or talk to them for a couple of years. True?
Not if I was talking every day before that.
No, if you were talking to them every day before that, the reason why now you feel space is because you were taking something from them and now you can't take it anymore. So you're upset a little bit. If you're talking to somebody, odds are you were taking some energy from them every day and now you can't take it, so you're upset about it and you're upset that they're not giving it to you anymore.
What if you were the person being taken from?
Then you would never be upset. The giver is never upset, only the taker. All right, guys, thank you very much. I'll see you later. The giver is never upset. When a person is upset, it means they're being the taker. Think about it.
Don't you always receive?
Does the brain feel pain? The brain is the giving for it. The brain itself doesn't feel the pain. What?
Don't you always take a little bit when you give as well?
That's the problem. That's what we need to even purify. If I'm teaching a class and I'm giving energy, inevitably, what's going to happen with anyone who's teaching anything anywhere in the world, even as a father to his child, he's going to give to his child. What is he going to feel? He's going to feel satisfaction. Wow, look, I'm helping. Look, they're smiling. Oh, there's respect. So inevitably, you get energy. So there's where Satan comes in. Satan, what does Satan do to leaders, any leader, spiritual leader, physical leader? He makes the leader be a taker. The leader starts being a giver, of course. Yeah, I'm here to help you. So Satan says, great, now how am I going to make you take from them? So then you look for their respect. And what happens? You get addicted to respect. So what happens when you don't get respect? You don't get the results you want. How do you feel? Depressed, and you crash. So ultimately, what happens when you're teaching your son and you're educating him and he's doing everything you want him to do? And then one day he says, Dad, you know, I want to just go live on an island by myself and, you know, just not do anything you wanted me to do. I'm going to drop out of school. I want to go do what my passion is, I don't know, whatever your passion is. You wanted me to go be a doctor? I'm going to go and learn figure skating. I wanted to figure skate. I want to just figure skate for myself all the time. My dad's like, well, what do you mean figure skate? What are you talking about? Why do you want to figure skate? Nothing's wrong with figure skating, but why you, don't you want to, I sent you to an Ivy League school. I mean, you're on your way. You're in your third year of medical school, and you want to go rollerblading? What's going on? So what happens? Now what happens? I gave. Now the father's like, wait a minute. I was building you to be my protege. I was building you to fulfill every lack I couldn't fulfill. It's very hard. It's very hard to let go. The father has to let go and say, it's not my son. The Creator gave me a son to manage and to help be, to fulfill his potential. What, maybe he's going to bring peace to the world by rollerblading. How do I know? How do I know anything? So there has to be a moment of let go. Now, that doesn't mean the father can't still influence, but he has to let go his taking part of it. Very hard. Very hard. This part of it's very hard. But when a person is upset, it means that they're looking to receive. Always. Always. Otherwise, you wouldn't be upset. You might feel pain. You might feel compassion. You might feel empathy. But you won't be bothered unless you were looking to receive something. And it's great that you get to see that you were looking to receive. Now you can correct it and remove it and be more like the light. Isn't that wonderful? And by the way, that's why people reject us. That's why we don't get thank yous sometimes. That's why we don't get back what we give, to highlight the part of us that's looking to receive. Gabe again.
I apologize. Yeah. I really apologize. But no. Just to go back to that example about the two girls who were in the friendship and no longer. So in that case, both of them were receiving. So, and when they separate and stop being friends, then if they feel a lack, the space, what you're saying is the space that needs to be corrected is each other by themselves, not necessarily with the other person.
Yes, they need to figure out the lack inside themselves and need to find a way to close the gap between them energetically. They need to want it. By wanting it, it will happen somehow, some way. For example, let's say your ex boyfriend left you, someone you profess to love and you profess that you give to, that you want to give to. If this is true, if you love him and you profess to give to him and you want to give to him, now that he's left you, you will pray every day that he meets his soulmate, even if it's before you. Isn't that the accurate way of saying you love someone? No. I love him when he's with me. I pray for him when he's with me. Now he's with somebody else, screw him. I hope they suffer, and I hope they can never have children, and I hope she cheats on him. That's what we think. So we don't really love. No, we love. It's like we need. You know, it's like, it's very tricky. You know you love someone where even if they're not with you, you still desire that they be as happy. You see the level? As happy. Very hard. Very hard. Very hard. This is why we're here. This is Kabbalah. This is where you will get to. If you work on it, you will get to it, and then you'll feel free. You'll feel, that's it. No more pain. No more pain. You won't have any more pain. Yeah, you might have things go up and down. Business goes up and down. You'll feel no pain because you feel the light all the time. You feel God. You feel the universe. You feel everything. You're one. You see the future. You see it. It's like you're never insecure anymore. You're just always happy. And then you'll also see exactly how to make money. You'll see exactly who's not going to want to be around you. Who's not going to want to be running and chasing to spend every moment with you. A big, big issue that most people don't realize they have is they don't take care of themselves. But it sounds so selfish to take care of myself. Put your mask on first, then put it on your kid. What does that mean? It means you have to build your light first. You have to build your consciousness first. That's why proactive confrontation is first, I need to deal with my issues, tap into my light, then I can deal with them. So a big thing in all relationships is build your light. And that's why sometimes people prematurely get into relationships, because they're looking for the light of the other person. They want to save them, hence steal their light. Saving someone is stealing their light, by the way. Yes?
So this desire to close the space, do I have to confront the person first? Or can I do it on my own?
Okay, so first, you desire to close the space. That's an internal process by yourself.
Yeah.
The third step, which we have on our handout, which I was going to speak about now, is, let's grab it. Some situations end right there, by the way. Some situations, you don't need to even talk to the person. and you have to feel what that is. Other situations, you must go speak to them when they have the desire to hear from you, the capacity to hear from you. And this is also something that we can help create in people. This takes time, prayer, and patience. If I know I need to tell someone something and I know they're totally not open to hearing it, what do? I wait. I ask the Creator, I say, create a situation for me. Help me. If you want me to confront the person, create a space, create an opening that I can talk to them in a way that can really help them. So this woman I was talking to you about, that she said she's cool with this person, but there's still space. I told her, you have to pray every day for the opportunity to close the space. Well, I don't want to close the space. Why should I close the space? I said, because space is chaos. Space is going to block your marriage. Space is going to affect your business. Space is going to affect your cells and your body. If you don't mind, then don't close the space. You need to selfishly want to close the space. It behooves all of us, guys. We all came from the original vessel. Remember the vessel? The vessel was one beautiful whole vessel. Then what happened? We broke up into all these tiny pieces. Here we are. And now we're separate. And what do we need to do now? We need to come back together. That's why anytime somebody promotes fragmentation, they're going to have chaos in any situation. You have to always be careful. You don't say or do something that creates fragmentation. And I'll even give you a sneaky example. If a man or a woman, let's say, dresses scandalously and goes and flirts. Let's say I go to Joseph. Joseph, are you married? No. Let's say you were. Let's say, a beautiful woman, I come and I start flirting with Joseph and I start touching his arm. Joseph. Like at a party, and maybe his wife's here, right? I'm like, oh, Joseph. Like this, oh, Joseph. What am I doing? What do you think is going to happen when Joseph goes home tonight? Separation or unity? What's it going to be? Now, who's going to get that short circuit? Not Joseph. It's not Joseph's fault. It's Joseph's fault when he enjoys it. Because here's Joseph. Oh, no. He's playing with her. No. If Joseph enjoys it, then he's also disconnecting from the light. Joseph has to smile and be nice and internally say, I don't want this. I want unity with my wife. I love my wife. And it's hard because Satan is coming saying, wife, shmife, she's over there. Enjoy, like this. Enjoy. Enjoy it. It's harmless. It's not a fair happening. Just a little touch.
She's being nice.
She's being nice. And you know what? There's a business transaction that might happen here. Maybe I can even get the account. Who knows? Meanwhile, this is what's happening when I go home. This is what's happening to the mayor. And then she's yelling at him, and he doesn't understand what's happening.
Why are you so mad?
What did I do? I didn't do anything. She was just being, I saw you talking to that girl. She was just being nice. It's my work. Leave me alone. But what is his wife, who God sent him to help him finish his correction in this world, saying to her? Joseph, I was sent by God to help you be like the light. And today you were not like the light. Bottom line. That's it. Right? And then you know what? Your kids won't respect you. Your four-year-old kid who doesn't even know what's happening is going to not want to listen to you. Why? Because he doesn't feel you're the light. Now, was the kid at the party? Does the kid even know what's going on? No. He doesn't feel you're the light. And not to mention all the negative forces we create behind the scenes that aren't even... It's crazy. We have to be very careful. We have to be very, very careful, guys. So that's step number three. Step number three... Is the person ready to hear? Is the person open? And if not, I need to pray for the open. And if it never happens, it's okay. But the question is, did you make the effort to close the gap, close the space? And also, don't be someone who creates space. Evil speech, we're going to have a whole class about it, hopefully. Evil speech, do you know how much space that creates? We say five words, causes so many fights and arguments amongst other people. causes people not to do business with each other, causes so many problematic things just because of 5 words I said. You think that I'm not going to experience the effect of that, the chaos of that? So we have many, many lessons that we're going to learn, and we're all going to get gradually to this extremely elevated place. We all have work to do, myself included. We all have work to do to gradually become more like the light. Very exciting. All right, guys, you excited about that? All right. So there's a workshop on the back. We don't have time to do it today. But I would like that you with your mentors this week do this exercise. You know, and we'll put the mentors in charge of helping, you know, connect the groups, or maybe you guys can text message each other what you wrote or what your scenario is. But try to do this workshop to try to remove a little bit more space in your life with someone that's in your life. All right, guys? Thank you very much.